Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Hannah Pagel. Our guest this week is South Dakota Republican Dusty Johnson, who joins us to discuss the latest developments on a farm bill and rural broadband. But first, here's this week's headlines. The United States has once again countered Mexican arguments against a genetically modified corn ban. Mexican officials have said that the ban is based on science, but American officials say it's not scientifically based and Mexico hasn't provided any logical theories on why GE corn would be unsafe from a scientific standpoint. The two countries are currently in a dispute panel over the possible ban to see if Mexico violated trade obligations under the USMCA. The panel is expected to complete its final report later this year. Biotechnology is back in the news. Three key federal agencies, USDA, FDA, and EPA, released a plan this week laying out steps they will take to streamline the regulation of genetically modified plants, animals, and microbes. One of the stated goals is to reduce the time it takes to conduct safety reviews and clear new plant traits for the market. Some things aren't changing. FDA is retaining its oversight of genetically engineered animals. Livestock groups wanted that authority transferred to USDA. And finally, the House Agriculture Committee plans to mark up a farm bill 2 weeks from now. Chairman Glenn Thompson says he wants bipartisan support for the bill, but he has not gotten any support from Democrats opposing some of his provisions. Thompson has not released details of his bill, but it includes provisions that could appeal to Democrats, like rolling back the ban on SNAP benefits for people convicted of drug felonies. However, his bill would include restrictions on future updates to the Thrifty Food Plan, which is used to set SNAP benefits, and that's been one of the main points of disagreement leading up to the possible markup. There's also questions on whether moving a bill out of committee would help both Democrats and Republicans before the election. Congressman Dusty Johnson is on the House Ag Committee. He says the next 2 weeks will be critical for Republicans and Democrats to come together and pass a farm bill out of committee.
Well, we absolutely should be coming together. And I would tell you from the Republican perspective, we've had conversations, hundreds of conversations with our counterparts on the other side of the aisle. Obviously, the farm bill needs to be a strong piece of bipartisan work. There are dozens and dozens of priorities of my Democratic colleagues already in the draft that Chairman Thompson and I, the other subcommittee chairman, the other members have put together. So I get it. Some Democrats may not feel comfortable voting in that bill. I think that's unfortunate because it is such a strong bipartisan piece of work.
So Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow also released a detailed summary of her draft farm bill last week, too, which has some provisions for crop insurance, but only modest changes in commodity programs and mainly reference price increases for southern crops. On the other side, you know, House Chairman Glenn Thompson also is going to have bigger increases for some of his for some commodities than others. And I'm just curious, you know, will farmers be OK with that?
With the reference price increase, yeah, it's one of the biggest things that they've been asking about. And I think you'll see in the House Republicans a farm bill. Again, hopefully it's the House farm bill. Hopefully the Democrats come along as well, because we have been talking to them. There are pretty robust increases to reference prices in Title I. We strengthen crop insurance. There is some base acre update options for producers. That'll probably be most interesting to folks in corn country. But yeah, I think producers, I mean, this farm bill really represents the priorities that we heard from producers as we were traveling around the country doing listening sessions.
So you don't think that some increases to some commodity groups versus others, there's not going to be one that's kind of pitting one versus the other?
Well, I think maybe there's some confusion about kind of the dueling farm bill proposals. My understanding is that Senator Stabenow's proposal maybe does do that, increases some commodities and doesn't touch others. I would tell you on the House Farm Bill, we've got a broad set of reference price increases. Now, clearly not everybody gets the exact same number. I mean, you do want this to be a data-driven exercise, but clearly we're in a dramatically different input environment today than we were 6 years ago. That's for all commodities. And so at least in our Farm Bill, I think producers will understand exactly what we're doing and why with reference prices.
So Chairwoman Stabenow has also secured about $5 billion from Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Were there ever discussions with your House leadership about providing additional resources for the Farm Bill? If so, can you share what you learned?
We're not in a situation where we can go spending billions and billions of dollars more. Of course, we do want to make sure that we're making right by our farmers, by our ranchers, by our foresters. And of course, nutrition is a hugely important part of the Farm Bill. But we were able to find robust resources within the existing Farm Bill framework, be able to reinvest those resources in places where we did need a little extra help. And I think that's what American people, including producers, want. They understand that this is not an environment where people can just, you can just dump more money into the top of the funnel, that it actually is a much better approach of government to look across the entire Farm Bill, figure out maybe where you can have some savings, and then reinvest those savings.
We'll be right back with more from Representative Johnson right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back. Both the House and the Senate have outlined plans to bring in the Inflation Reduction Act money into the Farm Bill. Representative Johnson says he'd like to see some of the funding guardrails be removed.
I think we know that conservation, particularly working lands conservation, is best when it's flexible. We talk all the time about the need for it to be voluntary, for it to be flexible, for it to be locally driven. And so when you start putting a bunch of guardrails about how does this affect the entire world, not local soil quality, not local water quality, not local habitat, the things that we normally care about with conservation, but instead saying, oh, no, you can only access these dollars if you're going to do a certain set of stewardship practices that benefit the entire globe, that's going to restrict our ability to go out and make sure that we've got conservation practices that work.
How would you like to see the IRA funding used in the Farm Bill?
But just as the House Republicans have proposed, and that is clearly conservation, a hugely important priority for our country, as well it should be. Obviously, carbon is something we need to be paying attention to. We want to be good stewards of the environment. But honestly, we can do that without having a requirement that all of those IRA dollars only go to one type of project with one type of focus.
So you recently introduced the Forest Act to streamline rural broadband infrastructure projects on federal forest land. How are you hoping that that legislation will provide internet access?
Well, what we know is that so often the deployment of telecommunications is slowed down by pretty slow and in some cases really unnecessary environmental and historic preservation analysis. We, of course, want to be good stewards of the environment. And of course, we need to care about our historical, our key historic priorities. My bill would say, listen, if you've already done that assessment for a particular piece of telecommunications infrastructure, and the only thing you're doing is replacing that piece of telecommunications infrastructure, you don't have to do the full environmental review again. Similarly, if you've recently done environmental review in that same area for a different purpose, you can use that analysis to help guide your decision-making on that telecommunications infrastructure. So what my bill is going to do is make it a lot easier to build telecommunications infrastructure in National Forest Service lands. That's going to be a big help.
How else can broadband efforts be supported in the next Farm Bill?
I think we want to make sure that we're building networks that meet our needs, you know, for years to come and aren't obsolete by the time that we turn the switch to light them up. That it means pushing those speed levels higher in the Farm Bill, and that's exactly what we've worked to do.
Awesome. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back with this week's panel discussion. But first, our Andrew Hunneke breaks down the Farm Bill dollars in this week's Farm Bill Focus.
The price tag for the next Farm Bill is expected to top $1 trillion for the first time. This chart shows the Congressional Budget Office's most recent estimates of projected Farm Bill spending over the next 10 years, also known as the baseline. The next Farm Bill is expected to cost more than $1.4 trillion. The Farm Bill has 12 titles, and nutrition accounts for nearly 80% of the bill's projected mandatory spending. The next biggest piece of the Farm Bill pie is the crop insurance title, which accounts for roughly 8.5% of spending. Commodity and conservation programs are both expected to total around 4 to 4.2% of funding. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke.
God gave us one planet. I dare to say He gave us everything we need. If agriculture isn't profitable, I can't do it over and over.
The $20 billion for these conservation programs, it's a way for us to make sure that agriculture in America stays viable for the long term.
To threaten the funding available for all of us is a really dangerous place to play politics.
Register now for the 2024 AgriPulse Food and Ag Issue Summit in California. The event will offer participants a full day of presentations and panel discussions. You can hear from members of the California Legislature, food and agriculture leaders, along with industry experts and academics. This summit takes place on June 4th in Sacramento and through our virtual experience. See the latest information and register today under the Events tab at agripulse.com.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we are excited to get into our panel discussion today, where we will be talking all things Farm Bill. Joined this week with Joby Young with the American Farm Bureau Federation and Jonathan Kappas with the Garner Agriculture Policy Program at the University of Illinois. And Jonathan, my first question is to you. So Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow released a detailed summary of her draft Farm Bill last week. It has some new provisions for crop insurance, but only modest changes in commodity programs. Do you think her changes go far enough to address the farm safety net?
On the Title I question, so this has been one of the big sort of barriers to getting any progress, largely built around this issue of reference prices. And so I think it's notable that the chairwoman's proposal includes the first and so far only specific proposal about raising reference prices. Of course, I think it's an issue that it's limited only to seed cotton, rice, and peanuts. And so there's some questions there about those crops. I know they've got it written in there as the crops that did not, that the escalator provision from 2018 did not, was not impacting the changes in reference prices for those crops. So I think, again, when we consider that we're working in a limited budget environment and there's not a lot of extra money or any real extra funds around there, this is a start. And I think the other side of it is we are looking at a negotiation, and these proposals are really the first step in that, the sort of opening bids or offers on it. And then I would note, to your point, there's a lot in there on crop insurance. There's a significant amount of provisions for NAP, the non-insured crop assistance program, and other things beyond just the narrow focus on ARC and PLC.
So you mentioned the budget. So let's talk numbers here. So Chairwoman Stabenow says that she has an understanding with Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to get an additional $5 billion into the Farm Bill. How is that enough given the request from commodity groups for increased reference prices and premium subsidies?
Without a magic pot of money, there aren't a lot of options. And, you know, I think one of the things I think has really challenged this negotiation is this sort of idea that we have to boost reference prices, particularly given the fact that high crop prices in recent years meant that, you know, you didn't see the payments coming out of PLC. That's not necessarily a problem with the program. It is a counter-cyclical program on a low price basis. So, you know, I think there has to be some reasonableness and reality in this discussion, that we are in a tight budget environment. We are in a situation in which we've seen, particularly in the House, a consistent problem moving legislation, particularly legislation that spends funds. And so those are, you know, those are real barriers. And I think that getting some funding helps. I don't know exactly what that offset looks like and how much it covers the 5% increase that she's proposing for cotton, rice, and peanuts. But again, it's a starting point. And I think it is not easy in this current political environment to go in for more money. Having lived through the 2014 Farm Bill, I feel the pain of trying to sort through that. So I understand that there's nothing easy about it.
And Joby, bringing you into the conversation here. So House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn Thompson also released a summary of his farm bill that he is working on last week. But soon after he did that, ranking member David Scott released a statement rejecting his proposal. How important is it for Thompson to win over at least some Democrats to get his bill through committee?
Yeah, well, thank you, Hannah. Appreciate you having me on. And it'll be a bipartisan process at the end of the day. They always are in Farm Bill. Jonathan mentioned 2014 bill. I was working on that one. I was here in D.C. at USDA during the 2018 bill. And these conversations, a lot of times they start out with, you know, certain positions. And at the end of the day, you had to bring people together. And I think that the stage we're at now is a good one, where you have summaries and sort of general proposals released. We look forward to bill text and the markup, you know, that the Chairman Thompson has announced, and that'll start that process of really continuing to narrow those conversations, continuing to find those areas of agreement as it goes along. So I think that it'll be bipartisan at the end of the day. It is important to have those conversations. And you know, if you read the newspapers, of course, you know, there's always going to be statements sort of staking out different positions, but the hope is that behind the scenes they're having the conversations that continue to bring them together on these different provisions.
We'll be right back with more from our panel right after this.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe on agripulse.com or on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back. Chairman Thompson said his framework does not make cuts to the nutrition side of the Farm Bill, but it does outline guardrails for how dollars can be spent. Farm Bureau's Joby Young believes this is something that will be up for negotiation.
Well, of course, as I mentioned, you know, just like we saw in 2018 and in years past, there's going to be different proposals that come out. There's diverse constituencies in Congress. These are, you know, every title of the Farm Bill is important, as people have different ideas around it. Nutrition's one of those. From a Farm Bureau perspective, we support our, you know, the agricultural titles, the nutrition titles. The members in Congress, the Republicans and Democrats, do the same, but they're going to have different ideas about those programs, and those will be put out, you know, as initial proposals, and then they'll work towards the middle with each other and figure out where they can find agreement. And so as I mentioned, we saw that play out in 2018 most recently, where some of the initial bills that were put out by the committees had a lot of major differences. And as you go through that process and you go to markups and you go to a conference committee, hopefully those sort of things get worked out. So I think that's part of the process, and we're glad to see the wheels starting to turn. We're having those conversations.
And Joby, both the House and the Senate say that they are going to bring in the Inflation Reduction Act money into the baseline of the Farm Bill. Chairman Thompson would like to remove the climate guardrails on the IRA funding, but Stabenow says that that is a red line. could this dispute keep the bill from passing through?
Well, on the contrary, I would sort of raise that up as sort of a positive story about the conversations I've just mentioned with coming from sort of places that are far apart and proceeding towards agreement. So if you read the headline 6 months ago, a lot of the members of Congress that were talking about this issue were a lot further apart. So the fact that you have what they're sort of initially signaling in these proposals is a lot closer on the issue, I think is good progress, and hopefully is a model for these other titles as they continue to have those conversations. So, you know, I'm optimistic that they'll continue to talk about those things, and it's not, I don't consider these things a barrier, but just sort of a natural part of the conversation.
And Chairman Thompson has scheduled committee action on the bill for May 23rd. Let's assume that the committee approves the bill and then it moves on to the House chamber. What are the chances of the full House passing that bill?
Ultimately, what we're seeing is the need to reach a bipartisan outcome, and that is a strong bipartisan outcome, not one or two votes, based on what we've seen on the House floor. And so the big questions, as you noted, the big questions begin with the SNAP program. If they're going to go after changes in the SNAP program that are opposed by Democrats, then that's an unnecessary sort of provocation or picking a fight that's not going to result in a bipartisan outcome. So I think one of the first things we want to see in that May 23rd markup is, can they reach this bipartisan outcome? Right? Do we see an amendment strategy or an amendment work that brings that issue to closure? And then once you've got strong bipartisan support, you do have a lot better chance on the House floor, and it should also help on the Senate. I think Joby made a great point that we see the convergence around the Inflation Reduction Act funding for conservation. That was a sticking point that seems to be at least on its way to being worked out, and maybe there's some more provisions that can be negotiated as well in that markup. But look, we've been through this twice already, in 2013 and then again in 2018, that going after the SNAP program is not the way to reach a bipartisan outcome on the House floor. And so that's the big outlying question, I think, surrounding this markup, is do we see this movement towards a bipartisan agreement, or are we going to continue to see this kind of partisan contest, if you will, over the SNAP program?
Well, there's a lot to keep our eye on in these next 2 weeks. Jonathan, Joby, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse newsmakers. But first, Andrew Hunneke walks us through each state's agriculture contributions in this week's Map It Out.
The Feeding the Economy report focuses on food and agriculture's contribution to each state's yearly economic output, jobs, and business taxes. This map breaks down the numbers on a state-by-state basis in 2023. 49% of Iowa's economic output was food and agriculture. South Dakota and Nebraska also had numbers above 40%. A majority of states fell between 15 to 25%. According to the report, the total economic impact for food and agriculture-related industries grew by nearly 12% to $9.63 trillion, which represents about 20% of the country's total output. The report also found there were nearly the same number of jobs in agriculture and manufacturing agricultural products. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. The next Consumer Price Index is released on Wednesday. The Organic Trade Association's Organic Week is Tuesday through Thursday in Washington, D.C. And finally, the annual Biogas Americas Conference runs Monday through Thursday in Savannah, Georgia. As always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Hannah Pagel. Take care of yourself.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.